denied. You're checking out Breakfast Soup Raw.
Enjoy as Don, Tony, and Mish spill the soup about pro wrestling, sports, news, and pop culture. Breakfast Soup Raw.
Breakfast Soup Raw.
And now, your host, Mish and Don, Tony.
Hey, good evening, everybody. It's March 14th, 2022. Breakfast Soup Raw is live. I am Don Tony, and he is
Anthony Missionary Thomas. What's going on, DT? What's going on, everybody?
Really bummed out today. You know, we talked about it 10 days ago when we heard about Scott Hall breaking his hip, falling and breaking his hip. And I played a little clip last night from 10 days ago. We talked about how simple fall could cause, you know, someone to die. As ridiculous as that may sound for someone, you get older, you know, it could start a chain reaction. You could be in the best health. It doesn't matter. Look at my dad, triple degree black belt and triple bypass surgery. He had a black belt for every bypass. Scott Hall yesterday was placed on life support. And, you know, for those that don't know all the details about life support, you put on life support. I mean, you pretty much know what the outcome is. A machine is keeping you alive. And what we talked about yesterday is that one of the most painful decisions that a family will ever have to make is deciding if somebody should be taken off life support or not. And I had a relative not too long ago that had that happen. And, you know, my aunt, God rest her soul, you know, they took life support off of her, and she got up. She was laying in bed and literally got up for a few seconds. And then it was all over, and all my relatives that were there that day, to this day, have a guilt trip thinking that, hey, maybe she would have survived it. She literally woke up and was looking at everyone, and, you know, Scott Hall today, his family made the decision to take him off life support. He battled it for about 4 or 5 hours, but in the end, Scott Hall passes away. 63 years old.
Yeah, when we were talking about this last week, I mean, I didn't openly say that, you know, somebody could die from a fall. I was trying to say that a fall could be indicative of something more dangerous or something more worrisome. And it's happened often, you know, where older folks will fall because they lose their balance. They almost suffer vertigo. And then that usually is something that complicates matters. But when it came to Scott Hall's passing, and I don't know if this is true, maybe you can clarify it for me. I heard that he had 3 heart attacks in a row.
Yeah. Well, what happened was in the hospital recovering from hip replacement surgery, he developed blood clots. And, you know, blood clots is no joke. I mean, you think about other wrestlers who have passed over the years from a blood clot. And right. Because of the blood clot, it led to a heart attack. And they got him stable, and then it led to another, and at least 3. And by that time, it pretty much, you know, I mean, I don't want to jump the gun, but when you have that many heart attacks and you're lacking oxygen to the brain and circulation, you know, you're pretty much in that state. I mean, it's just, it's irreparable damage. His body just was shutting down, and boy, it's rough. It's rough. I mean, you look over the years, I mean, he partied hardy. You know, I don't want to say anything today that might piss anybody off, but there was reports tonight or this afternoon that wrestling fans were gathering outside the hospital. And I saw a lot of people on social media, and they're like, you know, show some class. That's messed up. Show this. You're like, why are you doing that? That's stupid. Listen, every celebrity, and we've had a few that pass away not too long ago. I think DMX is probably the most recent one. They gathered outside the hospital. If they're not obstructing traffic and they're not causing any, you know, issues, you know, fans want to go. This is their connection. They're not doing it to disrupt. And in some weird way, I feel like Scott Hall, if he knew that there were fans hanging out outside in the street, praying for him, thinking about him, hoping for a miracle, and they're not causing trouble, and they're not causing any disruption, he probably would have been like, hey, yo, that's pretty sweet. They didn't forget right. about me. But right. unfortunately, he succumbed 63 years old.
Yeah, wow. Still pretty young, you yeah. know, I mean, especially for somebody that you considered as an athlete. But as you said, you know, he did have a history behind him, you know, and he was battling those different personal issues and stuff, even still to this day. So it was nice, you know, that there was so many people that were gathered outside the hospital. I thought it was weird that people were kind of shooing, you know, on social media. I saw a lot of people that were upset that there were fans. It's and I agree with you, as long as they weren't like blockading the hospital, which I'm sure if it was such a case, the law would have stepped in at some point and push everybody behind a barricade or something. But yeah, I don't know. I don't see anything wrong with people trying to support somebody, you know, through prayers, through, you know, active, you know, speech and stuff like that, or just even being around and in a physical embodiment around the area. You know, I don't know. I think sometimes people take that knee-jerk reaction stuff a little too far.
Yeah. Now, on our show tonight, you know, what we decided we're not going to do is be a Debbie Downer and uber sad. Of course, we are all sad. You know, another part of our wrestling fandom growing up is gone. It's a reminder that anybody at any time could be taken, and for reasons that don't seem to add up. Believe me, when we talked 10 days ago, that somebody could die from falling, a simple fall. I mean, you look at what happened to Bob Saget. You know, and you hear a little bit about bumping his head and, you know, what happened to him. I mean, it sucks. But tonight we celebrate the career of Scott Hall. We'll talk about just random things that come to mind. We're not going to sit here and say that he was born into a military family, and because of that, he started in Germany, ended up in Maryland, and this and that. No, we're going to just talk about what comes to mind when we think about Scott Hall. And later on, we will share what I think is some of his greatest hits on social media. You know, it stinks that because of really the stuff, you know, lighthearted fun with Paige, that social media, Twitter, chased Scott Hall off of the platform. He deleted his Twitter account. He's like, fuck this. I don't need this shit. But, you know, thank God, because it's saved for history. We will look back at some of his hilarious tweets. And I think at the end of the day, Scott Hall will want everybody to smile, have fun, enjoy yourselves. We will talk briefly tonight about Raw. Charmel, Queen Charmel, Booker T's wife, the most latest addition to the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2022. We got some ratings tidbits and a little preview for tomorrow's NXT 2.0 for my friends out there that would like to be part of the watch party. It is happening again, so I will give you details towards the end of the show. And then we'll get into, you know, I'll randomly be putting up little chat comments on the screen tonight. Doesn't have to be super chat. Any super chats that do not pertain to this, obviously, we'll save for later on in the show. But my earliest memory of Scott, and listen, if people notice tonight, we're not really going to look too much as far as like notes. We're going to go from here and here, but I do have some reference, especially when we look at titles. And a little tidbit tonight, it fascinated me. they never thought about before, and I have a feeling that 99% of you out there never thought of this either, and I'll tell you what that is in a moment. But my earliest recollection of Scott Hall as a pro wrestler was AWA. And big Scott Hall, and, you know, this is a case where somebody actually got, you know, I love this phrase. I don't know who originally coined it online with wrestling, but Scott Hall got smaller to get bigger. Because when he was in AWA, I don't know if it was the Magnum PI mustache, but he always reminded me of an early, you know, like a different version of Magnum TA. What am I doing here? All right, this is what I'm doing here. You know, tag team champion in AWA, very, very close friendship with Kurt Hennig. What's your earliest memory of Scott Hall as a wrestling fan?
I mean, earliest memory, I've probably seen earlier stuff, you know, before WWF, but I would want to say that my first prominent memory with him was him versus the 1-2-3 kid and that whole challenge and watching that on Superstars and everything else like that. And I thought it was so interesting that, gosh, I think it went even back to Prime Time. So back when we were watching Prime Time, you would see this underdog, the 1-2-3 kid, you know, actually winning matches over Razor Ramon. Now, I know he'd been in for a while at that point already, even with the WWF, well established. But it was one of the first big moments that really stuck out to me with Razor Ramon. So,
yeah. You know, and I want to make this point for our younger fans out there and friends. This isn't like CM Punk's Ring of Honor theme music. If your earliest memory of Scott Hall is WWF or NWO or even NWA TNA, that is perfectly fine. Not everybody is in their 50s or 60s or 70s. So whenever you first became a fan and learned of Scott Hall, that is perfectly fine. You know, my earliest recollection, obviously, was AWA.
Right.
He ultimately went to WCW and became the Diamond Stud, managed by Diamond Dallas Page. You know, if you look at his look, you know, it's interesting because he started to get a little smaller, but I think he was maybe the lack of chest hair, but it almost looked like, you know, he was in the middle of really, really built and strong, and, you know, the smaller size that he ultimately became in WWF. But I tell you, man, you know, people need to remember the time frame here. You know, 1982, I believe, was the year of Scarface. Scarface, one of the craziest movies of all time. And we're watching WWF television, and the next thing you know, we see vignettes for Razor Ramon. Now, we knew it was the Diamond Stud because he looked a lot like the Razor Ramon character. He had the little curl in his hair. You know, he had pretty much the same 5 o'clock shadow. But when he became Razor Ramon, I mean, it was just, to me, it felt like Scarface enters wrestling. And when that first vignette he did, when he's in that convertible, you know, if anybody that's paid attention to my shows over the years, and I said that my first car that I always wanted was a convertible Eldorado. And I would have gotten it if I would have graduated high school at a 90 average. I didn't. So I didn't get the car. That was the car I always wanted. Scott Hall in that vignette is in the same exact car I wanted. Now, I didn't want the car because of him. But still, I mean, it was just surreal. And, you know, I was mentioning this earlier. You know, a match, and I didn't realize that it was the same year that he debuted in the WWF as Razor Ramon. The same year that he debuted, a match that I was dying to see. And I know a lot of friends at the time were really, really looking forward to this match. And then the Ultimate Warrior left WWF. People may remember Survivor Series 1992. It was supposed to be the the Macho Man and the Ultimate Warrior, the Ultimate Maniacs, I think it was.
Right.
Yeah, and they were going to take on Scott Hall and Ric Flair, and then right before that goes down, the Ultimate Warrior leaves WWF. Kurt Hennig ends up taking the place for Ultimate Warrior, but it didn't feel the same. But at that time, you started thinking, wow, you know, they're putting Razor Ramon with the big boys. I mean, you look, we got heavyweight champions all across the board. Then it seemed like he started going into intercontinental territory. And it never seemed that he was ever going to get out of that. And one of my memories right before he left to go to WCW, and, you know, look, I haven't even had time to go back and watch any of this, but maybe some of you remember, he had a match, I believe it was against Vader. And really, really, I mean, they had a banger of a match, and I remember he lost. And this was right before he left to go to WCW. And, you know, it never felt like they were ever going to push Razor Ramon to heavyweight championship. And it didn't happen in WCW. It didn't happen in AWA. It happened, I think, for World Wrestling Council once, and I think USWA, he won the Unified Heavyweight Championship, I believe, from Bill Dundee. But outside of that, never a heavyweight champion. But, you know, I do remember his feud with the 1-2-3 Kid, and they were buddies.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it was a big deal, too, because of what it was establishing. I mean, in a world where, when you remember those days in WWF wrestling, as you know, jobber matches were king. Like, even if you were watching primetime wrestling, 9/10 of the show would be superstar versus random guy, and random guy would always lose. And when it eventually came to 1-2-3 Kid, it was expected that 1-2-3 Kid was going to lose, and then he shocked everybody by not losing. And then obviously looking back on hindsight, it was a really big move for Razor Ramon to do that for Sean Waltman at that stage of his career, especially. So, yeah, there's a lot of positive. I mean, obviously, once you start talking about the NWO, I'm sure millions of people have memories of Scott Hall and what he did there, from the Outsiders to literally being a cornerstone in the change of wrestling and entertainment at the same time. The guy was absolutely a character in and out of the ring, and there's a lot of positives about the guy, you know?
Well, if anyone out there wants to hear a fun story, go on YouTube. He tells a story about the 1-2-3 Kid, and during one of the Raw matches, getting knocked out. I think, what was it, like $10,000 on the line or something? Very, very funny story if anybody out there is not aware of it. But look, you know, I'm obviously older now, and I've been a fan since 79. But I got to tell you, you know, even though watching most of Scott Hall's entire pro wrestling career, the night he showed up in WCW through the crowd and got on the mic, you know, and just everybody was mesmerized. Like, we knew that he was leaving WWF to go to WCW. I mean, Meltzer had the newsletters at that time. The reunion, the click at Madison Square Garden, and that was not a huge story at the time. Some hotlines covered it, but it obviously became, you know, it took a life of its own once the internet really blew up. But when he showed up on Nitro, you don't know who I am, but you, you do, hey people, you know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here. And then, where's the Nacho Man? And he's calling out Sting. And that was the start of the Monday Night War. I mean, a lot of people think Medusa throwing the title in the garbage was the start. Scott Hall showing up on Nitro was the start of the Monday Night Wars.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Yeah, I can understand why people would think the Medusa thing. Because, I mean, it was a little bit more direct. But the idea of Scott Hall and Kevin Nash coming in there, and then obviously the big reveal being Hogan as the third man, like, these were these were more than just a storyline that was being presented for a new company. It was what it alluded to. It was what they were making the impression of, that, yeah, we're former WWF guys. Now we're in another company trying to fuck with them. And that's the way that they made it appear, as the outsiders. And eventually when they formed the NWO, you know, then everybody under the sun was a part of the NWO. And Scott Hall was a part of that. Scott Hall was the initiator of that.
You know, the NWO, probably the greatest storyline of my lifetime as a wrestling fan. I mean, Austin McMahon is probably the greatest feud that I ever witnessed growing up as a wrestling fan. But believe me when I tell you, everyone, I know it may sound ridiculous in 2022, but at that time, there were a lot of fans that truly believed that the NWO was trying to put WCW out of business, and Bischoff turning against WCW and Hogan turning against the Hulkamaniacs and Hall and Nash, you know, even though they had to reveal that they were not part of WWF anymore. But that storyline, honestly, you know, you have coming up WWE Evil. They're doing a series, and Hollywood Hogan is one of the stories they're doing. And it's about heel characters.
Right.
Look, the weird thing about NWO, and if anybody goes back to the early days, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. One of the weirdest and wildest, and I say it with nothing but compliment in mind, one of the wildest and surreal things you would see is thousands of fans wearing NWO shirts, fans loving it, too cool for school, and yet still throwing tons of garbage in the ring. I mean, you're not supposed to throw garbage, but I never witnessed where a group of heels were so hated but loved at the same time. People wearing the NWO shirts and throwing garbage in the ring at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I think, I mean, it's happened before. I mean, you've heard stories of like guys like Freddie Blassie and Roddy Piper and Ric Flair and Steamboat have all talked about their stories where fans would rush the ring and people would throw garbage even back then, even in the earlier days. But I think when it was televised and it was directed towards, you know, not even so much Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, but when the garbage was directed towards somebody like Hulk Hogan, I think that really did split the audience, because I'm not sure if they would have, because I think they would have gotten that heat regardless, you know, who the third man was. But I think it was something special because it was Hogan, because there were so many people that were diehard Hulkamaniacs. And considering how Kevin Nash and Scott Hall came across as the outsiders, people already didn't like them. They already hated their guts. And now you took one of their most beloved wrestling icons and you flipped them? I mean, that was the reason why. I remember Mean Gene standing there in the ring and, look at all this trash in the ring. You know, and I love that moment because, I mean, Mean Gene always kind of went off the cuff because he was Mean Gene. He knew how to handle himself. But it was just the disgust in his voice that really made moments like, you know, Hulk Hogan coming out with Scott, Kevin Nash, so.
I definitely, yes, Eric, I definitely cheered NWO over WCW. NWO was awesome. I mean, it just, you know, it felt like you were part of an underground faction. Remember, you know, going against authority, it was NWO before it was Stone Cold Steve Austin at that time. Sure. There's a little video clip floating around right now. It's on Twitter if you go check it out. There was one segment where Bischoff, who had already turned and join the NWO, he's in the ring with, you know, the extended NWO family, and somebody throws a whole cup of beer into the ring, and it hits Scott Hall right in the head, right smack, hard camera. You go back and you watch it, Scott Hall doesn't even blink. You would think a cup of anything is going for your head and nails it, and his beer everywhere. He doesn't even blink an eye. He looks up to the camera, and he goes like this, and he rubs the beer in his hair. That tells it all. The guy was too cool for school. I said earlier there was one tidbit that shocked the crap out of me today. I never thought about before, never bothered to look. I looked today, and it's fascinating, Mish. I mean, he's never had a valet. Now, yes, you might have, like, Elizabeth part of the NWO or something, but I'm talking about, like, Scott Hall coming down to a ring as a singles wrestler, no regular valet.
Wasn't that because he was dating one of the boss's daughters?
You know, there was some type of a story. I don't know if it's true.
I don't even
but
story.
Valets, you're not required to have sex with your valet. I mean,
I know. I'm just
especially if she's a little shangada, you know, busted. Right. But right. No, I don't. I can't. I mean, you would think in AWA, as Big Scott Hall with that Magnum PI or Magnum TA, whichever you look at, that mustache and that body. And they did vignettes by the beach, and I think they even did like a lifeguard thing once. And you look at his persona over the years, none. DDP is not a valet, Mitch, but we're talking about female. You know, you would think guy Greek god body. I mean, no valet. That kind of surprised the crap out of me. And listen. I'm not going to start throwing these all around my room because I know I will ultimately step on one without socks. But how many of you, let's be honest, how many of you, whether it was WWF or WCW, that you turned around and you'd be hanging out with your friends in school or you hang out by the park, and you got the toothpick in your mouth, you're just talking, and then out of nowhere, for no reason, you just look at your friend, you go, you just throw it right in his face. I don't want to hit the lens, but you always had to look the other way. You'd be like, and you just throw the toothpick. I went through boxes of toothpicks when I was younger. Always had to buy the mint toothpicks. So at least you had a little minty taste in your mouth, and then you chuck it in your friend's face.
I used to remember that they had cinnamon toothpicks, too.
Yes.
Cinnamon ones. Sit there and chew on those all day. Yeah.
No. Oh, my God. Sure. He started a trend with the toothpicks and, you know, hey, yo. And then he would do the survey in WCW. It was awesome. When they went back to WWE in 2002, there was a lot of rumors at the time. And then we had the infamous segment where Vince McMahon was losing it. And he's looking in the mirror and he's doing all his acting and stuff. And he's like, I'm going to instill a poison. And then he turns his chair around and it's written in white spray paint, NWO. And he brings the NWO. Wasn't a pay-per-view called No Way Out?
Correct.
I think it was No Way Out. And, but I tell you, NWO in WWE was okay. It had its moments, but it never felt the same. And I think it's because, you know, Hall started to get older, started to put on a little weight, maybe didn't look like, as you see in the picture here. Kevin Nash still looked fine, but then you had them feuding with The Rock.
Yeah.
And it just didn't feel the same. And then, they put Paul White in there again. Shawn Michaels became a member of the NWO. And
didn't Scott have problems then? Because wasn't he supposed to face Steve Austin?
Yes, he was supposed to face Steve Austin. Right. And I think he got canned because he had some issues with substance abuse. And that never metastasized. So Scott Hall was gone. And then those legendary days, back in the day, everybody, we used to have a mole in NWA TNA, and he was called Mr. Mystery.
Mr. Mystery,
he used to give us scoop after scoop after scoop. I mean, if all of you out there, you see Fightful and Sean Ross Sapp, that's what we were in the late 2000s, like 2010, whatever it was, when for the TNA stuff. We were the ones that actually broke the story that the NWO was going to form in TNA. And we're hyping it up and hyping it up and hyping it up on the hotline and the shows and everything. And then it happened, and it's like the ECW video game when it came out. Like, you tried your hardest to really soak it in and enjoy it and really think it's going to be awesome. And to me, it fell flat in TNA.
Well, it fell flat because initially it was, what was it? It was going to be Hall, Nash, and Jeff Jarrett. And that was, what was it, Kings of the Mountain or something like that?
I think ultimately that's what it became. Because I remember there was a pay-per-view with that.
Right, right. And, I mean, I don't think anybody looked at Jeff Jarrett and thought, wow, NWO guy, for sure. I think that that's kind of where it killed it. If they came in as just the outsiders, I think that there could have been a lot more potential there. Because especially at that time, too, and you might recall this, and I know this is kind of going down the Kevin Nash route, but wasn't Kevin Nash X Division champion at that time? And he had like Sonjay Dutt back there and a young Jay Lethal and a young Austin Aries, like all these different guys. And he was mentoring everybody.
He was the coach. That was awesome with the bathroom segment.
That was hilarious stuff.
Oh my God, that was awesome.
And Scott Hall could have easily been on that same bandwidth. And I really think that they kind of missed an opportunity there, whether it was ego or something else that was in the way. You know, it really shouldn't have been Jeff Jarrett, Scott Hall, and Nash, though.
Yeah.
It would have been better off if they wanted a third man in TNA. Why didn't they just pick up Sting? You know?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, Sting, babyface, I mean, they never were going to incorporate him with them.
Sure.
They couldn't use NWO.
He's a WCW holdover. You could absolutely make the same kind of faction.
Yeah.
You know, and this time instead of Hogan, you use Sting. Yeah. Sting was a long time. See, Sting would have had the same properties as Hogan in TNA. Because what Hulk Hogan was to WCW and WWF, Sting was really a backbone to a lot of TNA fans. So when that moment came in and we had Mr. Mystery and obviously we were watching all this live, it really would have been a bigger moment had that actually happened. But that's hindsight. That's 2020.
Yeah.
You know, as far as Scott Hall being in TNA, I think he had his best theme music in TNA, hands down, with maybe the exception of the Fugees in ECW.
Yeah, I was just going to bring up ECW, you know, because David Peralta was remembering, you know, the ECW stuff. I mean, for people that don't know, you know, Scott Hall ended up having three matches in ECW. Yeah. They all happened in November of 2000. He defeated Just Incredible. Believe it or not, I think he lost to Big Sally Graziano. I'm looking at some info here. And he teamed up with Jerry Lynn. And they beat Just Incredible and Rhino. And some type of shenanigans happened, I think, on the second night. But just going one step earlier, and this is just from memory, I do remember, I think it was 1996. I think it was 1996. Just Incredible invited Scott Hall to an ECW event. Scott Hall showed up, and this may not be 100% accurate, everyone, but I'm pretty certain it's got to be like 99% accurate. Scott Hall showed up at the ECW event, might have been in Florida, with his son, and was taking him to an ECW event. He was invited by Just Incredible. So Scott Hall shows up, and somebody tells Paul Heyman that Scott Hall's here. And he went into the locker room, and he was greeted with a lot of hate because when Bam Bam Bigelow was in WWE at the time, there was a lot of politics going on that kind of screwed Bam Bam Bigelow. Politics that screwed Shane Douglas. Remember the Dean Douglas stuff with Razor Ramon? So there was a lot of tension in the ECW locker room for Scott Hall. And, you know, there was a pay-per-view coming up, and I believe the story is that Shane Douglas wanted to knock him out. And Paul Heyman is like, you can't do that. You'll get arrested. We got a pay-per-view coming up. So I think Shane Douglas was kind of baiting Scott Hall to, like, throw the first punch, which I still think would have been a disaster because they didn't have security cameras to record everything. So it's he said, she said. But they ended up basically, you know, putting him down, telling him off, like, look at all the shit you did to us in WWE. All the politics, and he left. And, you know, that night, Just Incredible was bawling, crying. he apologized to the whole ECW locker room. He apologized to Shane Douglas. He's like, look, I'm the one that invited him, you know, and he felt terrible because he had no idea. You know, remember, Just Incredible was part of the clique, so to speak, in WWE, you know, albeit right. probably the youngest member and, you know, not really in that deep, but he felt terrible. But ultimately, 4 years later, he would show up on a weekend for ECW, came out to the refugees, right? Ready or not, here I come. Fugees. Tell them, it's late, everybody. It's been a long day. The Fugees.
Yeah.
And that was pretty awesome. And you know what? There's crappy video footage of that online from our video. But if you get your hands on a really good fan cam version of it, he got a good reaction. He got a pretty good reaction when he showed up in 2000.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And, you know, over the years after that, he had a lot of problems, obviously. He had issues in TNA. Anybody remembers the infamous promo that Samoa Joe cut on Scott Hall?
Right.
He did a little bit with, I think, ICP for Juggalo Championship Wrestling.
Yes, Championship Wrestling, absolutely. He was there for a few times, too. So.
And he was super over, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, ultimately, and a lot of people probably don't know this to this day, but in, I think it was either 2010 or 2012, he had to have a pacemaker and a defibrillator put in his chest.
Right.
So
right.
he's had a heart issue for about 10 years. So, you know, he's, and look, I believe he had epilepsy. He suffered from seizures. You know, obviously we know about his problems with substance abuse, but sometimes it was legit. That
didn't he also have... an ESPN 30 for 30 as well that actually highlighted him and highlighted his son. Whatever happened with his son? Is his son still doing well?
I don't know. I heard his son is doing well. I haven't heard much of him lately as far as wrestling goes. But, right. You know, I said this yesterday because yesterday we
The E60. I'm sorry. You're right. E60. Different ESPN program. I didn't want to confuse people. Oh, E60,
yeah, no, but everybody knew what you meant. Yeah, no, everybody knew what you meant. But thank you, SRH John. He was on the Insane Clown Posse Big Money Hustlers movie. You know, he partied with ICP, that's for sure. But, you know, I said this yesterday. I mean, you know, when you're put on life support, we pretty much know what the deal is. And, you know, there's a lot of people that still don't even understand what life support is. You know, like people are writing today, speedy recovery, wishing a speedy recovery. You're on life support. It's over, pretty much.
Well, I mean, there really is only two reasons to take somebody off of life support. They're either doing really well or they're not doing really well.
But the thing is, you know, and I hope everybody just remembers this. You know, three things we could take away from this. Number one, you know, thank God he was around in an era where everything was recorded, so we could still enjoy, relive those moments, watch him in his prime. You know, for younger fans out there or newer fans, you know, you get the opportunity to see everything that we talk about and all the other shows that are paying tribute that we'll talk about things that we didn't today. The second thing is, of all the battling that he did with substance abuse in his lifetime,
yeah,
he got clean. I mean, that is not easy because your body chemically depends on this stuff. He got clean. Diamond Dallas Page is an angel for what he has done for various people, including Scott Hall. He was clean. So in the end, Scott Hall was clean. And the third thing, and I think this is probably the most important, is that although he suffered the heart attacks and although he was, you know, I don't want to jump ahead and say things that have not been made public yet, but he was in bad shape that they had to put a machine to keep him alive. One thing, right. though, he was at peace, that he was not in pain. I mean, his pain was taken care of and, you know, he was asleep, you know, so he was not in pain when it was his time to go. He was surrounded by family, I believe some close friends as well. They kept the life support on so everybody could get together and get an opportunity to say one last goodbye to him. And as he said in his Hall of Fame speech, you know, bad guys, they live on, and he will live on, and you'll always remember him as you saw him when he entertained you the most. You know, if you're an older fan, hey, maybe this is how you remember him. For me, I'll always remember him here, but I will always think of this as well. You know, I don't think of WCW all that much, but Razor Ramon and his work in the NWO is how I'll always remember Scott Hall. I mean, sometimes we dream about wrestling, and sometimes wrestlers will pop up in your dreams for whatever reason. And I know that every time Scott Hall has ever popped up in my dreams, it is not this Scott Hall, you know, with the gray hair and a little bit, you know, heavier and older. You know, it's either Razor Ramon or NWO. That's how I will always think of Scott Hall in my eyes. Sure. So,
absolutely.
63 years old. Rest in peace to his family, his friends, fellow fans out there. We could sincerely, it's not a cliche cut and paste remark. You know, we offer our thoughts and prayers and condolences because that motherfucker, and I say that with love, was such a huge part of my wrestling fandom in the 90s, even in the early 2000s in some capacity. But the 90s, the Monday Night Wars, the start of the Attitude Era, what WCW did, Razor Ramon. I mean, he truly is one of the most important characters in the NWO. Founding father, but yeah, spectacular.
One of the more important wrestlers in the history of wrestling.
Yeah.
I think that you have to put him up higher. I mean, I know he's in the Hall of Fame, but even still, when you compare his name versus the likes of others, even some people that are going into the Hall of Fame this year, there's no comparison. Hall was absolutely a Hall of Famer through and through.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Scott Hall. Thank you for the countless days, hours, months, and years of entertainment. And his legacy will live on. And it puts a smile on my face to know the man got clean. The man was pain-free, you know. And, you know, he was one of the biggest wrestling characters in our lifetime. Period. Yeah. Period. You know, we were saying earlier, you know, it was a shame that he got chased off of Twitter because of some lighthearted fun with Paige. For those that don't remember, I think it was around 2015, and Paige had wrote a little joke on Twitter, like, oh, at a time where it was inappropriate to touch the females, or it was appropriate, or even she made a lighthearted remark about wrestlers touching the women. And Scott Hall made a lighthearted joke, like, you know, sweetie, don't make me put you on my knee and I spank you or something. And at the time, I think Scott Hall was 57, and people called him a creep. They said it's weird. Creepo made him feel absolutely awful. Paige ran to his defense and said, no. He's a friend of mine. I didn't take insult by it. He's just joking around, but social media... That's probably one of the earliest moments of cancel culture in the wrestling world when it comes to Twitter. They chased that man off of Twitter because of a lighthearted joke. He appreciates women. He loves women, beautiful women. What was so wrong with that?
That's the way people interpret things. It's been a knee-jerk culture for a while now, you know, and I mean, the fact that he didn't want to deal with it, I don't want to say he couldn't deal with it. He just didn't feel the need to deal with it, to waste his time trying to explain everything or everybody's hurt feelings and stuff like that. And I don't blame him.
I will say this, tweet kind of threw me off guard because I hate, not personally, but I can't stand Nancy Grace. And he actually was, I guess, on a plane with her or something. And she took an airplane selfie. And he actually, you know, called her pretty pussy. Airplane selfie. She's hot. Nancy Grace, Mish.
I mean, I guess whatever gets your type going, right? So.
Oh, I got to share this. Everybody want a good laugh? Somebody sent this to me earlier today. I haven't had time to confirm it, but it sounds right, and I just bursted out laughing. Maybe the chat room could answer this for me. This, I believe, was Scott Hall's debut in TNA. If you look at his T-shirt, he's wearing a T-shirt for the Landing Strip Gentlemen's Club, strip club, right. I believe, in Michigan. So his TNA debut, he's wearing a shirt for a strip club. 3 days later, he comes out at TNA again, and this time he comes out wearing a kids' elementary school shirt. He went from wearing a strip club shirt to a preteen school.
Right.
I mean, in 3 days. That just gives you an idea how crazy this guy is. But here's a couple of other fun tweets that I think you'll get a kick out of. I'm going to save my favorite one for last. It's pretty fucked up. But here's one also where some fan, because he calls himself the bag guy. That's the guy on Twitter. He calls himself the bag guy. So he jokes on right. Scott Hall, and he calls Scott Hall the bag guy also. So Scott Hall responds and says, "It's bad guy, you dumb fuck." So he's like, "Oh, shit, I'm high, Scott." And Scott Hall's like, "Why are you such a dick?" So the guy offered like to show him his wife naked and stuff. But Scott Hall was trolling this guy on social media at the time. Literally made this guy shit bricks. That was one moment. Here's another one where I guess there was something going on with politics. And Scott Hall says, "Would you rather have Hillary in charge now? Hashtag Trump." So somebody asks Scott Hall, "Are you drinking again, Scotty boy?" And his answer was, "Why, are you a cop?"
Right.
So he was just hysterical. But this is my funniest, my favorite tweet of them all. And I think some of you know exactly what the one I'm going to show. This one, he posted a picture of him, the dead man, and the Undertaker. Chris Benoit's in the middle.
Right, right.
Because he, you know, everybody thinks dead man, you think the Undertaker. So he says, "Oh, it's me, the dead man, and the Undertaker." That is pretty epic. That is pretty epic. So I just wanted to share a couple of tweets. You know, leading into Raw today, and we're just going to go through it quickly. Matches, we don't really need to get into all that much, but, you know, Cody Rhodes, people still want to be teased like the Sun, the Inquirer. In all my years of covering wrestling news, I never saw what I saw the last week of people convincing you. Raw probably had a good rating today because a lot of people were convinced Cody Rhodes was debuting tonight. And people write up. You see all those websites exclusive. The creative is tight-lipped. This backstage, not backstage. People have been lying to everybody. And the last 2 days, they bet on black. They bet their whole house on black on the roulette wheel. And you know what? It showed up on green, zero. It didn't even show up on red. It showed up on green, zero.
Yeah.
The credibility and the disrespect that a lot of shows and websites that are giving their viewers and listeners has been asinine, insane. And anybody that still tunes into them and still reads their stuff, you deserve. You deserve to be lied to and swerved like that. You keep falling for it. They keep throwing out the bait. You keep falling for it. They keep putting the mousetraps out there. You keep trying to go for the mousetrap. And, you know, I thought, just to incorporate Scott Hall, I came up with something tonight that I thought was pretty good idea. If Cody Rhodes was going to debut on Raw tonight. Wouldn't it have been cool if Cody Rhodes walked through the crowd, started a commotion, enters the ring, gets on the mic, and right on Raw to pay a little tribute to Scott Hall, Cody says, "You people, you know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here." I mean, tell me that wouldn't have fit perfectly to pay tribute. I mean, of course, we knew it wasn't going to happen, but the stars would have been perfectly aligned, and obviously there was no Cody Rhodes. But what do these places do now to defend what they did the last 3 days with this Cody Rhodes clickbait?
They just blame it on there was a last-minute change. I mean, it's the Dave Meltzer playbook. We've seen it 100 times before. Vince scrapped the idea at the last minute. You know, Cody didn't show up. I don't know. Like, they'll come up with an excuse for anything, you know. Oh, it's not this week's Raw. It's next week's Raw or something like that. So, look, I think it's in the air that a lot of people believe that Cody's going to show up in WWE.
I do.
You know, I think that's where we're at. He's going to show up somewhere. Let's put it that way.
Here's the facts, everybody. In 30 seconds, here's the facts. Nobody knows except for Vince McMahon and maybe two other people in WWE and Cody Rhodes and Brandy if they are going to appear in WWE, if they have a deal. They're the only people that are going to know. No one else is going to be told. There's no teasing. People just keep guessing and guessing and guessing and guessing. And ultimately, they're going to be right. Or if it ends up that he doesn't ink a deal, oh, at the last minute, things fell through. Nobody right. knows. Until you see Cody on WWE television or until Cody shows up somewhere else, no one knows except for Vince, Pritchard, Laurinaitis, maybe one other guy in creative, Cody and his wife and their kid. And I don't think their kid is old enough to talk to anybody yet. Anybody else right. that tells you that they have a source, they are lying to you. When Cody debuts, that's when he debuts. That's the facts. No one right. knows. Instead of just enjoying it, soaking it in, and talking about it when it happens, you know, we don't do that here. We're not going to say, oh, we got an exclusive. We don't know. When he shows, if he shows, then we'll talk about it. That's it.
Right.
That's the Cody stuff in about 30 or 45 seconds. So, talking about Raw tonight, Kevin Owens, couple of tributes to Scott Hall. When he opened up his promo, throwing a lot of shade to Steve Austin, he opened up saying, "Hey, yo." In the back, when he was with Seth Rollins, he's trying to cheer up Seth Rollins that Seth Rollins doesn't have a WrestleMania match or anything. And he's like, come on, tear up. Tough times don't last, but tough guys do. Tribute right. to Scott Hall. But the premise of tonight was Kevin Owens opening up the show, throwing a lot of shade to Steve Austin. He doesn't like beer, but when he wins or when he knocks out, because remember, it's still being called an appearance on the Kevin Owens show. He is going to pop open a Canadian beer, even if the other doesn't like beer. Seth Rollins, earlier, a little bit dejected that he doesn't have a WrestleMania, anything scheduled for WrestleMania. He's in the back. Kevin Owens giving him a little bit of pep talk, and then Seth Rollins almost has an epiphany. He starts smiling. He's got an idea, and he walks off. Kevin Owens feels that he gave him the idea. Seth Rollins later on comes out, cuts a promo, and his idea is that he'll have a talking segment at WrestleMania too. Seth right. freaking speaking Rollins or something like that.
Yeah, Seth speaking Rollins.
Yeah, and then he gets into a little bit of a confrontation with Kevin Owens that Seth Rollins wants to interview Steve Austin. Kevin Owens is like, no, it's my idea. No, I want to do it. No, I want to do it. And Sonya Deville actually likes Seth Rollins' idea that they'll have a tag team match, a one-on-one match tonight, and the winner of the match interviews Steve Austin. First of all, if you watch Steve Austin's promo, Steve Austin wants to go there to beat the shit out of Kevin Owens. Why would he, in storyline, agree to be interviewed by Seth Rollins if Seth Rollins would have won tonight? I thought... Good.
No, it was short-minded thinking. It didn't make sense from the get-go. And it was a real dumb plan. And the fact that they even sanctioned this as a possibility for a WrestleMania bait and switch, awful, that Seth Rollins could have ran his own talk show out of nowhere. And even sillier than that is, if Seth Rollins wants to do a talk show at WrestleMania, I'm sure they could figure out a way for him to do a talk show. Like, it was just really dumb. Like, the only way you're going to impress Vince enough to get a talk show is if you kick the shit out of the other talk show host.
Oh, that was like, awful. The match was fun.
Yeah, dude, that main event match was a lot of fun. It's just the stipulations, the point, it was just dumb as hell, man.
Brutal, man. Brutal. Because, you know, Kevin Owens, they're not changing that. Period. They're not changing it. So, you know, ultimately they have the match. And as I'm watching it, I just kept reloading searches for Cody. And I was looking at all of those places that have been doing this for the last week or the last 3 days especially. You know, yeah. And I'm like, okay, where's Cody? All right, where's Cody? Okay, where's Cody? I mean, earlier in the night when Seth Rollins said he had his idea, fans were chanting Cody. So the live fans are fully aware of what's going on.
Right.
But we get no Cody. And to me, that's spectacular, because even if Cody was going to debut and WWE said, no, let's hold off a week because of the shit going on online, that's pretty ballsy of them to do.
I wouldn't be surprised if Seth doesn't have a match all the way up until WrestleMania. And Seth comes out there going, I don't even have a match at WrestleMania.
Like the John Cena thing from not too long ago, where the Undertaker beat him up?
Cody pops out. Right.
That could happen.
It's going to be a call out. I can see it being a call out. Yeah. You know? So.
Well, we had Finn Balor versus Damian Priest, and I'm assuming Damian Priest is going to get some type of a title match at Mania, because today Austin Theory was on commentary hyping up his match with Pat McAfee, and ultimately Finn Balor loses to Damian Priest. And after the match is over, Austin Theory attacks Finn Balor again, does more selfies. Yep. I mean, Finn Balor's the champion right now, but for 2 weeks, it doesn't feel like he's a champion because he keeps getting laid out. Even when he won the belt, he ended up getting laid out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was brutalized tonight. And when Austin jumped in the ring, you know, like, he was taking the selfies and everything else like that. Finn was really getting the crap kicked out of him tonight. So, and Damian Priest with the extra guy liner.
Yes.
They're really sold on making Damian Priest this next level heel. And I don't know, man. I like Damian Priest, but I'd rather cheer the guy than boo him, you know?
Yeah. Omos beats Commander Aziz very quickly.
Dude, I was actually kind of hyped for this match, only because this is a match that I wanted to see for a while, because it's not very often that you get to see two guys that are over 7 feet tall square up in a match. And the match itself was... it was pretty basic, and we knew that it was going to be. I mean, people were like, man, these guys are horrible. They suck. I'm like, what do you want them to do, planches? What do you want them to do, fucking flips? Guys this size don't have these fast-paced, high-octane matches. Matter of fact, I was really impressed, and I don't think a lot of people would be, but I was impressed that 7 foot, 350-pound Aziz was willing to do that suplex and go up and over for Omos. That was insane. And the fact that neither guy got hurt from that was even better. Because it looked like, for a second there, I'm like, oh, shit, Omos is going to drop him. I'm like, that's going to be horrible. And then you see Aziz pulling up his arm and literally structuring his body. This is a 7 foot guy. This is not a guy who takes suplexes, but he was aware enough to straighten himself out and flip over so that Omos could drop him, you know, on a suplex. It was really kind of cool because you don't get to see this. This is the freak show. This is the carnival part. You know, this is the, hey, look at the giant versus the other giant. You know, I know that match is going to mean absolutely nothing by 10 minutes after the show goes off the air tonight, but I enjoyed it for what it was.
After the match, Omos chokeslammed Apollo. Okay match. I just trying to figure out what they're going to do with Omos at WrestleMania. I'm still not sure. I was thinking to myself, would it be something if they did Seth Rollins versus Omos? I'm not saying it. I'm just saying, like, you know, I could imagine how the net would, you know, like bust a nut, be so pissed off because of all the rumors of Seth versus Cody. Liv Morgan over Queen Zelina. We had Rhea Ripley out there because they are getting the title shot at Mania along with Naomi and Sasha. More comedy with Carmella jumping into Cody's lap and you know, Liv Morgan getting the win, you know, just furthering the possibility that the champs are vulnerable. That just leads to Mania. The Mysterios over the Hurt Business for a second week in a row. Miz and Logan Paul were on commentary. After the match is over, they try to attack the Mysterios. Miz gets out of Dodge, but Logan Paul, it was a little awkward. Logan Paul, you know, being cornered by Dominic and Ray. He tries to attack Dominic. He gets kicked in the leg. They attempt the double 619, but Miz pulls him out of the ring. I guess it was okay, you know, but Logan Paul for a brief moment looked like a deer in headlights.
A little bit. I mean, that was the whole thing there too. It's a further along the Logan Paul celebrity status for Mania. So
yeah. By the way, for those that are interested, tomorrow on NXT, Miz TV, Miz will be on NXT tomorrow interviewing Dolph Ziggler. We'll do a little preview a little bit later. Another vignette with Veer. Now he looks like he is coming to Raw. Right. I don't know what he is.
Well, as I said, the coming storm. So, you know.
Yeah. Bianca. Remember when we had the final chapter in December? Bianca Belair versus Doudrop, the final chapter. There's been three matches since the final chapter. Again, the same thing. She beats Doudrop with the impressive KOD. This time around, Becky shows up. No cutting of the hair yet, but and maybe not. Maybe the throat was the only revenge that Becky gets before Mania. But Becky attacks Bianca, pulls her by the hair, throws her against the ring, and then puts a chair around Bianca's neck. And, you know, literally just yanks her into the corner post. Look good on TV. And Bianca is selling, you know, the throat injury. They said that they rushed her to the hospital and she had a throat contusion. So, you know, we're only a couple of weeks away from Mania. So will Bianca be off TV for 1 or 2 weeks? I think that could happen.
Yeah, man, I thought that they did a good job. I thought Corey especially did a good job making sure. He's like, this isn't Sweetener. This isn't sound effects. This is actually the sound. Like, I was pretty impressed that he threw that out there because I know I said, oh, they just probably sweetened it up during one of the Wrestling Soup episodes. And I know I've heard other people on different shows also say, ah, that's just, you know, echo tricks and everything else like that, which it very well still could be. But I thought it was very interesting that Corey pretty much addressed a lot of different shows and criticisms, you know, saying, no, that's actually what happened. That's actually how
all it came through. All they had to do is look at the marks on Becky. I think they would have realized.
No, I understand that. But that audio was loud. Yeah. And sometimes people don't really know what a whip sounds like, you know, let alone how it would sound like with hair.
Yeah. We had a nice pre-planned video tribute to Scott Hall. And we've talked about this over the years. A lot of you may not be aware of it, but WWE, news stations for celebrities, musicians, but we stick to wrestling. WWE has tributes already pre-planned for a lot of wrestlers in case they pass. They already have some type of piece put together for Hogan. They got a piece put together for Flair. It just has to be finalized towards the end. What you saw tonight, about 95% of it was done in advance, and they put it out there. It was still a beautiful piece. Yeah. I was a little taken back. Corey Graves really got choked up. I mean, if you go back and you watch when they mentioned about Scott Hall's passing, Corey Graves got very, very choked up. He was crying.
Yeah,
he was crying. So we had RK-Bro with a championship celebration. Randy Orton talking about his 18th appearance at Mania, never been a tag team champion going into Mania. They have a little bit of popcorn and soda in the ring for Riddle, and the Street Profits come in. Street, we're getting to Edge. One fall, let me finish. We get the Street Profits, they come in, and they're basically, you know, issuing a challenge for WrestleMania. And Randy Orton is like, no one pushes me around. Not even the Vincent Kennedy freaking McMahon pushes me around. Nobody tells me what to do. But he accepts the match anyway. Because Riddle will accept the match
is what it was. So
yeah, Riddle sweetened him up a little bit. Street Profits are like, look, we're not asking you, we're telling you. And Riddle, you know, says to Angelo Dawkins, bro. And Angelo's like, look, when it comes to those titles, I'm not your bro. So a little bit of convincing, and Randy agrees to the match. And Street Profits make fun of their celebration, and Riddle's like, we don't need to wait till Mania. So Riddle issues the challenge to Montez Ford. They have a one-on-one match. And it ends up, it should have been a DQ victory for Riddle, but it looks like it went to a no contest because of interference by Alpha Academy.
Right.
And it appears that it's going to be a three-way at Mania. Do you think they're going to put Alpha Academy in that match?
Yeah, no, I don't doubt that. I mean, they need a match too, and why not have another triple threat match for the titles? Makes sense.
Okay. So. Well, we already talked about Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. They had their match, asinine stipulation. The winner gets to interview Steve Austin. Like, Steve Austin is going to just go along with it anyway. No interference. You know, we pretty much, you know, we had Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins, you know, pretty even match, I would say. Kevin Owens ultimately with the stunner. And
top rope spot was nice, too. There was some nice back and forth between them. I mean, they wrestle very well against each other. They understand each other. I enjoyed the shit talking. That kind of broke up the monotony of the match where Kevin Owens was screaming at him, this was mine. This was my moment.
It's
this was supposed to be my show, right? And Seth obviously retaliates physically. So, yeah, no, that was fine, dude.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, Seth Rollins now, the story going off the air is Seth Rollins has no path to WrestleMania.
Right.
So, you know, how they go from here, I don't know. And again, you know, the Cody stuff, if it happens, it'll happen. There's no behind the scenes. There's no scoops being released. You know, people are just guessing. But, you know, we saved for last Edge. Edge, new entrance music after all these years. For those, and I tell you, a lot of people tonight were writing. They love the new music. For those that don't know, it is a song called The Other Side by Alter Bridge. So if you want to get that song, that is the name of it. It's performed by Alter Bridge. A lot of people were digging that song tonight. What did you think of the new music?
Yeah, no, it was good. It was a little bit different. It sounded like I haven't listened too much Alter Bridge. I've heard of them a few times. I've probably heard more than a few songs here and there, but a little bit of a Soundgarden type vibe, Queens of the Stone Age kind of sound to it. It's not bad, and it's it fits. The lyrics fit, you know. It's a little bit more modern for Edge, so that worked. It was fine.
Yeah. In the beginning of the song, it reminded me a little bit of something that Aleister Black would have come out to if he was still in WWE.
Right.
But as it went on and you had the female lyrics in it, I'm like, you know, it's pretty solid. I thought the song was good. I mean, look, it's very rare in the world of WWE. You have a wrestler with an entrance theme that is, you know, been around for years. I mean, decades, technically. And you change it. Very rare that the majority actually likes the change, unless it's an, you know, Khali's music or something horrible. Which, and Khali's music is actually pretty good. But he gets on the mic, same dark purple lighting, once again, bluish lighting. I'm better than everyone. I'm certainly better than all of you out there. And he starts talking about, you know, his change to what he is now. And at one point he calls Roman Reigns Aquaman. And if that edge would have faced AJ Styles, AJ Styles would have left that edge laying in the dust.
A little more maniacal tonight. I got to say, Edge definitely did a lot better than the previous weeks. A little more maniacal, a little more sinister tonight. I thought that his promo was short and sweet. I almost expected him to kind of go on, but it was almost like he cut himself off and just got the fuck out of there.
Yeah,
it was a little short.
Yeah, I almost felt like maybe they cut it short because of the tribute to Scott Hall, because, you know, he was talking about, you know, like, the old Edge is dead, baby. And then he's like, you know, he's talking about sitting on the porch, and he's got that omnipotence, which is unlimited power. But then at the very end, he's talking about AJ, and it was a weird ending. He's like, if you make it to WrestleMania, AJ, you will be judged. It just felt like there was like 5 or 10 lines that were skipped over. It just, the ending felt very abrupt. And I even think the crowd reaction was a little bit abrupt to it. You know,
a little bit. A
little odd ending.
Yeah, no, it was fine, though. It was absolutely fine. Less is more sometimes. You know, you just came out with a brand new look with the purple lighting again, and you came out with new music, and maybe a little less is a little more.
Yeah. Shout out to Roger Rubio. He loves that song, one of his favorite Alter Bridge songs, and he's going to a Tremonti concert. I think that's right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Guitars for Alter Bridge. All right, enjoy. So that pretty much was your episode of Raw tonight. The main event matches, you had Veer over Michael Stevens and Tommaso Ciampa over T-Bar. Tomorrow for NXT, and as I said earlier, we are going to be doing a watch-along if you all want to come stop by. If you are not a Patreon and if you are not a channel member here, you definitely could still be part of the watch party. Either DM me on Twitter at DonTonyD or email me, DonTony@DonTony.com. Costs nothing, obviously. And again, with these watch parties, not only do you not have the host on the screen, because if you ever go on a YouTube watch along, you only see the host. You can't watch the wrestling. You can't listen to the wrestling. Here, you actually get to watch it and listen to it. You actually stopped by Friday for a little while, right?
Yeah, for a little bit, man.
Yeah, so it wasn't too bad, right? It was pretty cool.
No, it was fun. It was more than a few people. There's some people that were just hanging on the chat, and then there were some people that were on voice, too. So
yeah,
it was not bad.
So tomorrow for NXT 2.0, we got Miz TV with Dolph Ziggler as the guest. A-Kid will be making his NXT 2.0, and if you do not know about A-Kid, from NXT UK, definitely check him out. Guy is uber talented. He's going to take on Kushida. You have a qualifying match, Cameron Grimes versus Santos Escobar. The winner will be part of the ladder match at Stand and Deliver to determine, you know, the North American champion. Carmelo Hayes is defending the title. We got Saray versus Tiffany Stratton, Persia Peralta versus Indy Hartwell, and no word about Last Legend or Nikita Lyons yet. Something tells me that'll happen the following week.
Yeah. That's stuff around the docket.
Thick and thicker. Thick and thicker. They're taking a life of its own as far as NXT. Ratings for the last couple of shows. Rampage went down slightly to 526. SmackDown went down slightly to 2,000,226. Impact Wrestling tanked, went down 28% to only 94,000. I mean, it was pretty much a lost week last week, with the exception of NXT 2.0. That went up 11%, and I think Raw went up a little bit too. Raw went up 2%. NXT was the big winner last week in the ratings. So before we go, and a couple other quick comments, we got to talk about the Hall of Fame. Before we talk about the Hall of Fame, shout out to Philip Maffey. He went to Raw tonight. Overall, he was bored and felt it was lackluster. What'd you think? Were you bored tonight? I thought it was an okay show. Everything was overshadowed with Scott Hall's passing.
I was, yeah. I mean, going into Raw, I mean, the first thing you're thinking is this is going to be a kind of a dire show because of Scott Hall's passing. Not that much earlier than when Raw debuted tonight. So, but overall, the night was kind of blah. You know, as much as I enjoyed the Seth and Owens match, the whole reason for it was silly and it didn't help anything and it seemed kind of out of place. The Cody rumors were abound, so I think a lot of people were watching to see that. And, you know, everybody doesn't know what's going to happen because it's hard and it's difficult to sort through the bullshit sometimes, to play with the word salad that some of these, you know, different journalists and stuff use, that you don't really know what's going to happen. So there was the idea of Cody there, and then Cody not showing up is, I'm sure, a little bit of a letdown to a lot of people. Myself, you know, I don't know, the women's match wasn't really, you know, rocking my world. And other than Montez eating Riddle's hair, you know, that whole segment was a little weird. What the hell was it? Did you notice what he was doing?
Did you notice that part?
Yeah. So there was a point in the match where Montez grabs out a lock of Riddle's hair, right? And he has in his hand, and you got to watch him because he goes over to the side and he kind of goes out of frame. They do like the long shot for half a second. And then you see him playing with Riddle's hair in his hand. Well, and then he picks it up and he starts.
It's almost like girls when they play with their hair and they put it in their mouth.
Yeah, but other people's hair, another dude's hair.
I know, it was
hair.
Still weird. It was really weird.
I've never seen a dude willingly eat some other guy's hair. So, yeah. I mean, other than that, you know, like there wasn't really too much of a highlight for the.
Yeah,
it was weird, man.
Yeah, shout out to Mystic. Yeah,
look, I'm amazed at how many people miss this. Yes, go back and watch Montez and Riddle. There's a point where he has Riddle in the corner and he yanks him down, and the referee kind of pushes him off to the side, and they do the long shot, and you can see that he has the hair. He's got the blonde hair in his hand, and then he just starts picking it out piece by piece when they go back up to him. He's like,
yeah. Shout out to Mystic. Thank you for the kind words. Charlie Conway, seek out Bam Bam Bigelow's shoot interview on YouTube. He'll talk about the politics with Scott Hall. Quick question from Bob the Builder. Do we think Seth versus Cody is actually happening?
I mean, it could, but I mean, at this point, I don't even know if I want Seth and Cody. I understand why people want it. Like, my whole vision of a lot of things being done for WrestleMania right now, it doesn't even make sense. Yeah. You know, it should be Cody and The Miz, right? Isn't that the big thing? Cody talked trash about The Miz in different parts of time with AEW, and they have the similarities with the reality show. Like, shouldn't it have been Cody and Miz?
Happen the night after Mania. Cody is not needed for WrestleMania this year.
He's not, but he's a big get. And I know he's not needed, DT, but to not use a guy who people are buzzing about for WrestleMania, which is your biggest show of the year.
Yeah, but a lot of people that are buzzing it are the same people that bash WWE. Let me say like this. I'm very curious to see what the Raw rating is going to be tonight. If the Raw rating is pretty much what it always is, or if it goes down a little bit, that noise online, you know, claiming that they're watching Raw because they think Cody's going to show up is nonsense. It's just a very tiny, tiny little percentage of loud noise.
Right.
Sure, fans, I think, want a good storyline. But I personally, if it was up to me, you debut Cody the night after WrestleMania. Got to save something big for the night after WrestleMania. You mean to tell me Cody is a part? Why would you rush Cody 2 weeks before Mania? it's that's the thing that I'm still like, even if Cody were to show up next week, you know, we're on what, 2 weeks away from Mania? You're going to set up a storyline for Cody that hasn't been in a company, that's been in AEW? You're going to do all that in 2 weeks? WWE's booking in their storyline is not that great. So for me, I would wait till the night after Mania.
Right.
That's just me. That's just me. So, Brian Becerra, shout out to you. He paid tribute to Scott Hoare earlier. Happy anniversary to you, and thank you as always for the support. Didn't forget about you, buddy. Before we wrap it up, we got to talk about another member to the WWE Hall of Fame. We had The Undertaker, we had Vader, and we now know the third member, not of the NWO, of the WWE Hall of Fame, and it is Queen Charmel. Mish, what's your thoughts? Because I actually, it'll lead to something about WrestleMania that I think maybe some haven't thought about. What do you think about Queen Charmel in the WWE Hall of Fame?
I mean, I really am not sure how to take it. I mean, obviously, people remember her as Queen Charmel with Booker T. You know, she did a great job of being his manager slash valet slash wife. We remember the interesting storylines with her and Kurt Angle and Booker T, which kind of made me think when Kurt Angle, and maybe you can chase me on this one, when Kurt Angle was supposedly going to work a non-wrestling role for WrestleMania, and now that we find out it's Queen Charmel, do you think there was going to be any kind of attachment between those two for WrestleMania, and then they pulled the kibosh on it?
No, you know what I think? This is a long shot. This is my gut feeling. When Kevin Owens threw shade at JBL, Shawn Michaels, and Booker T, when last week he said that he wants Steve Austin.
Yeah.
They're going to be in Texas. Having Charmel go in Texas. This is a long shot, but I think, because remember, you and I said it from the beginning, that we weren't sold on Steve Austin having a one-on-one match with Kevin Owens. If he feels that he can't do it at 59 years old, then it might just be a, you know, stomp down, you know, ass kicking. But I was thinking, what if, in addition to Steve Austin beating down Kevin Owens, what if JBL hits his clothesline? What if Booker T does a spin-a-rooney and the bookend? What if Shawn Michaels lands a super kick or an elbow? You know, it could possibly end up being a segment where you have four Hall of Famers in the ring, beating down on Kevin Owens. And maybe Charmel is a little bit, I know there's other women that definitely, my opinion, should be in before her, but if Booker T is going to have some type of an on-air role at WrestleMania, this might be a little bit of, you know, part of the deal. What do you think?
I mean, it could be. It makes sense. You know, I mean, when you're talking about it like that, there's another reason for Booker T to be there. Absolutely. You know, and that could be the comeuppance for Kevin Owens, is not just Steve Austin, but all these legends get a chance to lay some boots into him. I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. There's more than a few connections, like I said. And the fact that she's going in there, I've seen a lot of people's responses to it, and most of them are not positive. And people even in the chat room are bringing up the fact, let's not forget that she was a Nitro girl back for WCW in the day. She was also a valet manager for Kiwi in WCW back in the day. So, I mean, she does have a history in the business for what it's worth. And, you know, I mean, that's all I'm going to say about that.
You know, it was funny. I don't like shouting out any individual people, because you all have a right to your opinions, even if we don't agree with them. But I did find this a little humorous, but awkward at the same time. Earlier, Booker T was live for his Hall of Fame show, and I was watching it, and he broke the announcement about Charmel going in, and he's actually going to be the one inducting her. And while he's doing his show, super chats were coming in. And he got a super chat from Ken from Terminated by DQ that a lot of you, you know, socialize with in the chat room here. And Ken, Terminated by DQ, sends him a super chat and says, look, you know, good for Charmel, but I think Miss Elizabeth should have gotten it before Charmel. I mean, I'm sure Booker T's been told that 1,000 times and maybe deep down inside he agrees with it. But it, you know, I was like, I was dying to see what Booker T's response was going to be. But yeah, it came off a little bit awkward. I kind of felt a little bit bad for Book. It was a little awkward. It was a little awkward.
Yeah, I mean, what did people expect them to do? Yeah, my wife doesn't belong in there.
I know. I know. It's like, but you know, I think Book had seen the super chat earlier, because when he was talking about his wife, you know, he kind of screwed up too, because he's like, there would have been no Macho King if it wasn't for Queen Elizabeth. Macho King was with Queen Sherry. Miss Elizabeth was, you know, he wasn't Macho King when he was with Miss Elizabeth. But he segued to Miss Elizabeth, you know, to show respect for her. I mean, honestly, if you look at all the women that should have been in the WWE Hall of Fame already, with all due respect, Charmel wouldn't even be in my top 30, probably, maybe even top 50. But I think that they may be doing it because of Texas and because Booker T may have something brewing on TV for Mania. But I'm not saying that she doesn't deserve, you know, because she was an important part of King Booker, you know. But right. Interesting choice, especially when you realize, you know, Undertaker is the main guy. So you and I, we talked about it, that maybe the people put in all have some direct connection with the Undertaker. You know, they have to put a female in, but I'm very surprised it was Charmel out of everybody.
Right.
So, with that said, your updated WrestleMania lineup right now, we got 10 matches announced, 5 for night one, 5 for night two. For night one, we have Charlotte Flair defending the SmackDown Women's Championship against Ronda Rousey. We have Becky Lynch defending the Raw Women's Championship against Bianca Belair. We got Rey and Dominic Mysterio versus The Miz and Logan Paul. Drew McIntyre versus Happy Corbin. And the Usos will be defending the SmackDown Tag Team Championships against Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs. On night two, we have Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, winner-take-all title unification match. Queen Zelina and Carmella defending the Women's Tag Team Championships against Sasha Banks and Naomi, as well as Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan. We have Johnny Knoxville versus Sami Zayn, Pat McAfee versus Austin Theory, Edge versus AJ Styles, and we don't know yet which night it's going to be RK-Bro defending the belts against the Street Profits and possibly Alpha Academy. Yeah. You heard about Sami Zayn, right? With his phone getting over 10,000 texts.
Yeah.
I got through his number the other day, live on
you
the show.
You sure did.
I kept hitting redial, and I got through like 2 or 3 times, but I did not get any text message response or anything like that. So
you almost doxed yourself.
Yeah, I did. I did. Well, I did that on purpose. It read the first 6 digits and then I disconnected it. You'd have to call 9,999 numbers to get it right at least once. So, but yeah, with that said, you know, we're right at the 90-minute mark, which is pretty much what we were planning on doing tonight. Obviously, with the circumstances with Scott Hall's passing. But you have any final thoughts before we go?
No. No final thoughts. Much love to everybody. We will see you tomorrow.
Much love, Mish. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, guys.
Okay. Everyone, I want to thank you for tuning in today. Tributes for Scott Hall are coming in tonight. Kevin Nash had said some poignant words yesterday. A lot of it was circled around, you know, the family, but I want to share, before we go off the air, because I wanted to put this up earlier, but he sends, you know, his thoughts and prayers, and he says some very, very beautiful words about Scott Hall, and he says, you know, my heart is broken, and I'm so very fucking sad. I love Scott with all my heart, but now I have to prepare my life without him in the present. I've been blessed to have a friend that took me at face value, and I him. When we jumped to WCW, we didn't care who liked or who hated us. We had each other, and with the smooth Barry Bloom, we changed wrestling both in content and pay for those. A lot that disliked us. We were the outsiders, but we had each other. Scott always felt he wasn't worthy of the afterlife. Well, God, please have some gold-plated toothpicks for my brother. My life was enriched with his take on life. He wasn't perfect, but as he always said, the last perfect person to walk the planet, they nailed to a cross. As we prepare for life without him, just remember, there goes a great guy. You ain't going to see another one like him again. See you down the road, Scott. I couldn't love a human being any more than you.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.